with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 to the Sermon on the Mount, or what has become so well known in the church as the Sermon on the Mount, when Christ gathered with a great host, a great multitude, to teach them about the Christian life. He wasn't teaching law. He wasn't teaching another gospel. It was the gospel of the kingdom for Christians, for real disciples, for real followers of Jesus Christ. I actually believe in this hour, in today's church, in the best of it, we have lost the meaning of real Christianity. We've lost the dynamic power of it. We have lost the radical way of following Christ. All we've been left with is this whitewashed, empty thing that's called Christianity. Amen. We need to come back to the words of Jesus Christ again. My message, as we read here in this series on prayer, is pray for your enemies. And this is something I don't think in my entire Christian life I've heard an entire message on praying for your enemies. I've heard it preached, I've heard it taught, but never an entire message exhorting us. And I believe often it's because people hardly know what to do with this. People don't like to hear that you should or ought or can pray for your enemies. Matthew chapter 5, and reading from verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. And then down the page a bit to verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he that is God maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But ye therefore... be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Let's pray together. Open our hearts. Let's ask God. Since I am not preaching theology or a sermon, I am preaching something here this morning that goes to the very heart of the experience of everyone in this room, of everyone in this church, of everyone we encounter, praying for your enemies. We need God's grace. We need his help. This is not natural to us. It goes against nature. It goes against who we are by temperament and by personality. Let's ask God to help us, to open our ears and to teach us what it means not only to love our enemies, but to pray for them. Father, here this morning, we bow our heads, we bow our hearts. Lord God, we humbly cry out to you, knowing the trials that we have passed through and the trials that we will face in the future. Lord God, we ask for your revelation. We ask for your heart, O God. We ask for Calvary love to flow into us and literally to flow through us to enable us and help us to pray for our enemies, for those that hate us, those who scorn us, those who speak against us, those who falsely accuse us, those who persecute us, those who despitefully use us. My God, we're asking for the real love of Christ. We want to be a testimony in this church. We want this church to be marked by a real Christianity, by the real love of Christ. Praying, O God, for those that would abuse us, praying for those that would hate us, O God. And Lord God, we are asking for your mercy to enable us this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Here this morning, I want to preach on pray for your enemies. A command of scripture to pray for your enemies. Not only to love your enemies, but you're exhorted by Jesus Christ himself. Pray for your enemies. Here this morning, it says in Matthew chapter 5, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Who's ever heard such a command, such a teaching, or of such a lifestyle, that if there are those who hate you, despitefully use you, who scorn you, who lie about you, who attack you, who verbally pour out things against you, who do things against you that are evil, they actually attack you, they have an attitude problem towards you, they have thoughts in their mind, they're not your friend, they don't like you, they are treating you and acting like an enemy towards you, when they persecute you, they pursue you, they chase after you, it's not only when they encounter you, they come looking for you, they search you out, they find you, they track your heels, they go where you go, they speak to those that you associate with. What does the Bible say we're to do? Are we to pray for fire? Are we to pray for their death? Are we to pray for vengeance? How is it we are to pray for them? What are we to do? You know what the Bible says? Pray for them. We are actually commanded. People who attack you and speak against you, we have the clear word of Jesus Christ our Master, the one who died on the cross, the one who suffered, the one who preached to vast multitudes, the one who healed every manner of sickness. What did he command? Pray for them. Pray for them. Whatever they do to you, you must pray for them. Since I actually believe this command is a protection on your heart. It's a protection on your walk with God. If you do not pray, you'll get bitter. You'll get filled with vengeance. You will get angry. You will become disappointed. You will throw your hands up and go, what is all of this about? That's why Christ himself says, when men hate you, you better pray for them. When they despitefully use you, pray for them. When they persecute you, you are to pray for them. This is a protection on your very heart. This will keep your heart pure. This will keep you walking with Jesus Christ. Look with me at this chapter, the Sermon on the Mount. In verse 21, it says, you have heard that it is written, thou shalt not kill. You know what he's talking about? Jesus here is teaching the vast multitude, and he's looking back to the Old Testament. He is looking back to the Ten Commandments, or the Law of Moses. And as he looks back in verse 21, he gives us one of the commandments. He said, thou shalt not kill. That's what the law says. That's what they said. The law and the prophets and the men of God in the past, they said, thou shalt not kill. Do we keep that today? Yes. Is this a part of God's word? Yes. We shall not kill. We must not murder. It is the command of God. Thou shalt not kill. It is a clear command of God. But listen to what Jesus says in verse 22. But I say unto you, they said thou shalt not kill, but I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. In other words, it's not just the outward, I don't kill someone. Jesus said, I'm saying unto you, my teaching, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of God's grace is not just that you won't kill someone or murder someone. No, the gospel goes far further. The Christian life is far greater than that. Not only will I not kill them, and I may feel like killing them. You know what the Bible says? Thou shalt not be angry with thy brother. With who? With thy brother. With thy brother. There is an association or a relationship that if you get angry with those who are closest to you, you are in danger of judgment. Oh, but I haven't killed them. You are in danger of judgment. Do you realize anger in the heart can damn your soul? Do you realize anger in your heart can destroy your own mind and your own lifestyle? It can destroy relationships. Anger is a fire. Anger is a destructive thing. Anger is as dangerous as lighting a fire in the midst of your house. You know, Candace likes to light these little candles around the house, and she'll go into her room and she'll light the candle and she'll walk out to go and do something. And I walk in, what's the first thing I do? I blow it out. And she comes back in and goes, man, what happened to the candle? Well, Keith Malcolmson will wander from room to room blowing out candles. You know why? I once got caught in a building filled with hay that was on fire. The complete thing was on fire and I was inside it. You know what? Fire is a very dangerous thing. From that experience, I've never lost the reality. Oh, how dangerous anger is. Oh, how it can destroy. It can kill. That's how dangerous fire is. You see, I've seen what anger has done to men's hearts. And you know what? I don't want it in my heart. I don't want anger in my heart. I don't want vengeance in my heart. I want to stay free because I've met people who are angry. I've met people in the church, they're angry and it's destroyed their walk with Jesus. Jesus goes further in verse 27. He says, It is said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. In other words, you're married in a relationship and you have sex outside of marriage. What does the law say? Thou shalt not commit adultery. It's an issue of life and death. Adultery is sexual sin against God. But look at verse 28, what Christ says. But I say unto you. You see, the law said don't commit adultery. Don't commit the act. Don't go and be unfaithful to the marriage bond. What does Christ say? But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her in his heart. Do you realize what Christ is saying here? That lust in the heart is as destructive as adultery with the body. What adultery does with the physical body, lust in the mind and the heart can actually do in your life spiritually. Do you know what this is? This is the Christian gospel. This is the grace of God. This is real Christianity. Do you know what a real Christian does? A real Christian man diverts his eye. It's not enough that you're not sleeping with the girl. It's not enough that you're not out in the red light district. You ought to, when you walk into shopping, guys, I trained myself to do this in my teens. When I walked into a shop, I never looked at that top row of magazines. I trained myself. I disciplined myself. When I walked down the street, I didn't look at the girls. Yeah, do you know, I could look and not sin. I could actually look. There's things that you can't help seeing. There's no sin in that. But saints, even that, I trained myself. Don't even look in that direction. Just divert your eyes. In this world, there's things all around us. You train yourself. You discipline yourself. You know what that is? That's a Christian life. Why did I do that? I'm a Christian. I'm born again in my teenage years. 16, 17, 18, 21, 22, 25. I train myself. You know why? It's part of being a Christian. But listen this, he goes further. Because all through this chapter, he says the same. But I say unto you, oh yes, we know what the law says. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Don't do all of these things. Don't steal. Don't blaspheme. Don't make any graven image. That is the law. But Christ says in verse 22, but I say unto you, verse 28, I say unto you. Verse 32, I say unto you. Verse 34, I say unto you. Verse 39, I say unto you. Verse 44, I say unto you. Notice with me in verse 43, again he says, thou shalt love thy neighbor. Do you know what he's talking about? The law. Do you know what the law, the Old Testament law, the old covenant, do you know what it said? Love thy neighbor. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Should we do that? Yes. But let's never forget loving your neighbor. Who is thy neighbor? Who is thy neighbor? Do you remember? A man once asked Christ that. Well, who is my neighbor? If I am to love my neighbor, who is my neighbor? Do you know what Christ done? He told a parable in Luke chapter 10 about the good Samaritan. A Samaritan hated by the Jews. And yet he is the only one who helps a Jew and picks him up and rescues them. And Jesus said, well, who is the neighbor here? Is it the Samaritan? Is he your neighbor? Or is it the Jews who could care less? You see, when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself in verse 43, he is quoting from the Old Testament, from Leviticus 19. And verse 18, and he is saying, the old covenant was love your neighbor. Do you realize if all you do is love your neighbor, you're living under law? Do you realize if all you do is love those in this church, and love those in your family who you get on with, and you love people in your workplace, and you're there going, man, aren't I being good? I love sinners, and I love people I meet in the church. Aren't I being a good Christian? Do you know what? That's law. That is actually law. You know what? That's basic morality in our world. Love your neighbor. Sure, most sinners on the street do that. They pride themselves and say, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good here. You try to treat others like they treat you. Have you ever heard a sinner say that? I've heard many sinners say that. Well, you treat them like they treat you. Or you treat them like you'd want them to treat you. Isn't that very good of our moral sinners in the city? Do you know 7 times in the New Testament we're told, love your neighbor. You are commanded to love your neighbor. What is that? That's being honest. If you're not honest with someone, you're not loving your neighbor. It's having integrity. In other words, if you're in work, well, I clock in late and I clock out early. I don't do a good job. I'm not careful over what I do. I'm not careful over my studies. Do you know what? You're not even loving your neighbor. These are the people helping you. These aren't people who are your enemies. They're not attacking you. If you can't even love them, you're in trouble this morning. This is basic. But you know what? This isn't even the real command of Jesus Christ here. He said, it has been said, it was in the law that you're to love your neighbor. But I say unto you, love your enemies. That's a radical different thing. He's not only saying, love your neighbor. He is saying, you're to love your enemy. You're to actively have a love. Saints, let me hear this morning, bring you to this message, praying for your enemies. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, It says here, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Who's saying this? Jesus Christ is saying it. It is a command. Every Christian is going to have their ears open to this. You have to love your enemies. Those who act like enemies towards you in their words, in their attitude, in their actions, in their gossip, in hurting you emotionally or spiritually or even physically. Do you know what you're to do? Do you know what the Bible commands you? There's not a choice or a discussion. You are to love your enemies. You know the problem in today's church? We can't even get Christians to love their neighbor. But Christ said, hold on, that's basic. Who wouldn't love their neighbors? He says the real gospel of Christ is to love your enemies. Do you realize I have met many Christians that I've helped, that I've prayed for, that I've encouraged, that I've served. Do you know what I've got in response? They've hated me and they've treated me like an enemy. No, I can't say that because if they treated me like an enemy, they would have to love me. But they do not love me. They do not respond rightly to me. And you know what? There's something badly wrong with their Christianity. I do them good and they curse me in return. I bless them and there they are trying to hurt me. I go, what's wrong with them? Do you know what? They're not even living under the law of God. They aren't even living under the old dispensation. They're not even listening to Moses, never mind listening to Jesus Christ. Because Christ said, if a man is your enemy and he hurts you and he attacks you and he speaks against you, do you know how you're to respond to him? This is what a Christian does. He actually loves. He doesn't hate. He doesn't speak against them. He loves. Do you know what love is? This word love is agape love. It's God's love. It's not human love. It's not natural love. It's not family love. It's not even marital love. It is a love that is not of this world. And it comes down from heaven. If you can, and listen to me with this. This is the first thing. Love your enemies. Saints, this is impossible without the grace of God. You cannot love your enemies out of a natural lifestyle. If, listen to me. I'm preaching on praying for your enemies. If you do not pray for your enemies, you'll not love your enemies. Do you hear me? How are you going to love your enemies? If you don't pray, if you don't have a prayer life, you don't have this love. When someone attacks you, you will get angry and you will hate them and you will respond to them. But there's something about praying for your enemies that accomplishes this love in you. As you pray, as you talk to God about your enemies, you know what happens? The love of God comes into you. Do you want to love your enemies? Then pray for your enemies. Hear me this morning. You want to get a victory and say, I want to overcome by love. I want the same love that Jesus had on the cross. I want the same love that I read of in the Bible. I mean basic Christianity. Do you know how I get that? I'm going to pray for mine enemies. If you don't pray for your enemies, you certainly won't love your enemies. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. What does it mean to love your enemies? Does love mean blind eyes? You know what people have often said is love is blind. No, it's not. No, it is not. Not the real love that we're talking about here. The love that loves an enemy is not blind. You know why? He's saying, they're an enemy. That's not blind love. They have done this to me. That's not blind love. They have hurt me. That isn't blind love. You see, true love has eyes wide open, ears open. It feels, it experiences. Do you know love is telling the truth? You are my enemy. And do you realize that? But I'm going to love you. It's in your heart saying, that person is an enemy. I'm not pretending. I'm not trying to say, oh, I just love everybody. Those people are usually spineless cowards who know nothing about real Christianity. Real Christianity says, that's sin. That's wrong. To act like that and speak like that is sinful. You're acting like an enemy. I've met a lot of enemies in the church. You know what it says in Psalm 50 odd? It actually says, I went up to the house of God with you. I fellowship with you. I went into worship and you lifted up your heel against me. You were an enemy unto me. Do you realize you can have enemies in the house of God who call themselves Christian, say they're born again, but by their actions you go, you are an enemy. How can you speak like that and call yourself a Christian? How can you act like that and call yourself a Christian? How can you have that attitude in your heart towards your brother? Whenever, of course we love our brother. But hold on, we're to love our enemies. If you can't even love your brother, what hope have you of loving your enemy? If you can't love those that are closest to you and do you good and walk with you in fellowship, how are you going to possibly love your enemies? It will be utterly impossible. You see, true love does speak truth. In this hour, we think that love is tolerant. Love is blind. Love accepts everything and everyone. True love doesn't do that in the Bible. Listen with me at 1 Corinthians 13. We have a description of love, or the word charity, love in action. What's charity? Love in action. Lots of people say, I believe in love. There's no legs to it. Where's the legs on your love? Where's the arms of your love? Where's the tongue of your love? Your love is just a feeling. It's a mirage. It's a sentiment. But where is true love? I want to see true love in action. In 1 Corinthians 13, there are 15 verbs, action words used to describe love. When you come to say, what is love? You've got to describe what it does. You have to reveal how it acts. You have to show how it speaks. You see, love is such a thing. It reacts in such a way. But listen, 1 Corinthians 13 and 6. It says, love or charity rejoices not in iniquity. That's how you know true love. What is true love? It does not rejoice. You know the word rejoice there is very important to understand. It means to put your blessing on something, or to congratulate it, or to confirm it, or to say it is okay or fine. In other words, real love will never look on what's wrong and say, God bless you. Oh, you're great, you're doing well. Love will never congratulate when you're not living right. It will never do that. That's how you know real love. It does not congratulate or rejoice or put its blessing on sin. It cannot do. It will not do. But it says, love rejoices in truth. In other words, love congratulates, it blesses, it upholds, it honors those who do truth. I honor you. Love will honor those who walk in the truth. You see, we have a description here. Loving your enemies looks like something. I actually believe that if you love your enemies, you're going to pray for your enemies. If you cannot pray for your enemies, or do not pray for your enemies, or you go, I just cannot pray for them, or I don't want to pray for them. Do you know what the issue is? Love in your heart. It's the character or the motivation of love. If you truly love them, you will pray for them, not pray against them. Not pray against them. But this is going to be the motive of praying for your enemies. Saints, hear me. If you're really going to pray for your enemies, you need to have the love of God in you. You can't just be conformed to the law, going, if they do me good, I'll do them good. If they pray for me, I'll pray for them. You have to get a victory over your enemies. How do you get it? Pray for your enemies. Do you want to overcome? Then pray for your enemies. Don't grumble about them. Don't complain about them. Don't just criticize them. If you don't pray for them, then you're no better than them. That's how simple it actually is. What a man rejoices in or gives his blessing to reveals his character. And you know what? Prayer is the highest utterance of love towards an enemy. It is the greatest act of love. When you begin to pray for an individual that has wronged you, You know what most people are governed by is the actions of others. You've got hate in your heart. Why have you got hate? Because of what someone's done to you. Why are you bitter? Because of what someone's done to you. Why are you resentful this morning? Because of what someone has done to you. Do you see that often we can become what others have made us? Do you see that? You're in great danger that their actions govern who you are, how you speak, how you act, how you conduct yourself as a Christian. In other words, their actions has literally molded you. Rather than the Word of God, what did Christ say? Love your enemies. Love your enemies. There's a big difference in Christ's Word coming to me and going, I want to love my enemies. I want to burn with the fire. I don't care if they hate me. I want to have a genuine love that can overcome that. Or if you get bitter, do you know what it means? God's Word hasn't affected you. It's their actions has molded you. You have actually been affected by them. You've let their actions get in on you. He not only says, love your enemies. In verse 44, he says, bless them that curse you. You say, Brother Keith, are you sure this is in the Bible? It's in the Bible. Bless them that curse you. You know what cursing means? Using vile, evil words to speak against you. You see, this is not only love in your heart, the attitude of your heart. Now it's words on your lips. Do you realize if you're going to bless those that curse you, you're going to have to pray through to God? Do you realize that? This is not natural. This is not within our humanity. This isn't even in today's church to bless those that curse you. Hold on. I bless lots of people and they're cursing me today. I've got literally hundreds in the church who have cursed me. They can't speak one good word to me. They call themselves Christians. Hold on. Enemies, them that curse you, you're to bless. Do you see how we brought Christianity down into the muck and mire? We have destroyed it. Saints, we're greater than this. Christianity is something far better. We love our enemies. We bless them that curse us. It doesn't mean bless you, brother. Bless you, my friend. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean to say, God bless you. There, I'm keeping right with God. It doesn't mean that. Do you know what it says in 1 John? If a false teacher, a Jehovah's Witness, or a Mormon, or a Catholic comes and speaks to you at your door, don't say God bless when they go away. Do not say God bless. Don't put God's blessing upon them. You know, if a false teacher or some troublemaker comes in here, I'm not going to just say, oh, God bless you. It doesn't mean that. We're talking about people who curse you, who attack you. Listen to what it means. It means they lie about you, they slander you, they're spreading gossip about you. How are you to respond to them? You bless them. Do you know what blessing means? Speak well of them. Give good words. Use kind language. Are you convicted yet? Are you challenged yet? Do you see that we are to go higher? You can't stay where you are. I tell you, it's very easy to get angry and think you're righteous. Very easy to speak like they're speaking and you think that you're righteous and doing the will of God. Do you know what? I'm going to have to get on my knees. Do you understand praying for your enemies? They are cursing me. They're speaking against me. They're telling lies on me. Where am I going to go? Where am I going to go where I can keep a sane mind? Where I don't go crazy or get better? You know where I'm going to have to go? To my knees. I'm going to have to get on my knees and say, oh God, I feel like cursing them back, but I want to bless them. Lord, I need you to control my tongue. Do you realize what comes on your tongue is what's in your heart? Do you realize your words reveal what's going on inside you? Do you know if you curse those who are your neighbor, you're stupid. You're stupid. If you curse your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, if you curse those in this church, I mean under your breath, in your heart, with your lips, if you're so free that you can pour out the wrong things to the people who are closest to you, who actually love you, you're a fool. But that isn't the gospel. The gospel is Those who are cursing you, what do? You respond with love. You respond with love. You actually speak what is right. You speak kind words. Notice the response here. I'm not going to become what they are. I'm not going to have them mold my Christianity. I'm not going to have them steal my victory. If you're cursing them with your lips, what will your prayers be like? How are you going to pray for your enemies? Where to pray for our enemies? How can you pray for them if you're cursing them? What if before a Friday night prayer meeting and you're there in the car and you're cursing them, speaking bad about them, criticizing them, then you come into the prayer meeting, oh God, will you bless them and will you do a real spiritual work on them? You're going to confuse the Lord. The Lord's looking going, what? What? Will you make a bit of sense all this? Or are you against them? Are you for them? Is your prayer a play act? Is it a game? Is it only words? You see, usually the words you speak about them is what's coming out of your heart. And then you get all religious in church. Oh Lord, bless them. Lord, I bless them in Jesus' name. You know, I've met all those Christians through the years. And they're the grace Christians. The don't judge anybody Christians. The love Christians. But I've had a lot of encounter with those people. And do you know what? You stand on their toe or you disagree with them. Or you say, actually, the Bible says, I am to judge. I am to judge. And you know what? They attack you like a wild animal. And this person who says, we're not to judge. We're to love everyone. We're to forgive everyone. Suddenly they get angry with you. They really do. I've seen it so many times. But saints, that is not the gospel. We are to bless those that cursed you. You have faced this. You are going to face this. I'm giving you the word of Christ. One simple verse this morning. I'm not making this up. I'm not telling you dreams and visions. I'm not giving you a prophecy. I'm giving you the word of Jesus Christ. Not even of Paul. Not of just Peter. Not of the prophets of old. I'm giving you the New Testament gospel. This is the Christian life. You are to bless them. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 4:12. And labor, working with our hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat them. Be very careful of your heart attitude. Next it says in verse 44, do good to them that hate you. Do you know what hatred is? It's an attitude. It's an emotion. It's a burning fire in the bosom. Hatred is a strong emotion. Hatred makes you shake with anger. Hatred makes you vengeful. Hatred makes you want to say something and do something. You want to lash out at that person. Hatred is a terrible and destructive thing. You never have the right to hate anyone. Oh, but you don't know what they've done to me. You never have the right to hate anyone. If you have hatred in your heart, you are on very dangerous ground. Hatred will destroy you. And then you're of no good to them. How are you going to pray for them? How will God answer your prayers about that person if you've got hatred in your heart? If you hate like they hate, listen to what Jesus said. What are you going to do to those who hate you? What about those who shake with hatred towards you? What are you going to do? Speak about them? Act towards them? Take some action against them? The Bible says do good to them. In other words, they hate you. How do you know they hate you? You discover hatred in their heart by their actions. In other words, if someone has hate in their heart, they can't keep it silent. It's going to affect their speech, their actions. They're going to act towards you in some way. You will find hatred in that heart. How do I know? I can't see a heart. I'm not judging motive. How do I know someone hates me? By their action. Oh, I don't hate you. I love everybody. Then why are you speaking like that? Oh, I only love everyone. I don't want to talk about anything negative. Then why are you speaking against me? You say, I know you've got hatred in your heart. You wouldn't speak like that. You wouldn't think like that. You wouldn't act like that. You wouldn't do that. Do you know what? If you're a real Christian, do good to them that hate you. That is your action. That's how you respond to someone who is hating you. Hatred that's coming out in actions towards you. You must do good. What am I to do good? You better get on the knees and pray. Well, I'm there, and they're hating me and acting towards me. What am I actually to do? And this is not a how-to message here this morning. I'm not going to give you a list of everything you're to do. I can't do that. Do you know how you find out? Get on your knees before God and say, oh God, give me wisdom. You need to be in the place of prayer. You've got enemies who hate you. Go to prayer, or that's going to get in your heart. It's only in the place of prayer. Do you know, the pastor, I didn't tell Candace this. Do you know, suddenly, out of nowhere, about a week ago, I felt I'm to message someone. I'm to write an email to them concerning a certain thing, and someone who has big problems with me. Do you know what I do? I went and wrote it. Do you know, at Christmas time, someone wrote to me, someone who'd spoken against me, someone who had an attitude against me, someone who's separated friends from me, and they wrote an email asking for help at Christmas time. Do you know what I've done? After the initial thought of my natural thinking of what I would like to do, and I'm like all of you, we're all the same. I had my natural thoughts of what I would just love to do to that person's neck, what I would love to say to them. All of it rises up naturally, instantly. I know you lot don't know about this. Sorry to expose myself, and it's such a shock to you. But we're all the same.
Yeah.
All of this rise up. But in 2 minutes, I say, oh God, help me. I want to be a Christian. I'm going to act like a Christian. You know what? Do good to them that hate you. He's spoken against me. He split a friend, a very good friend from me. What am I going to do? Yes, brother, I'll help you. Do you know no one else answered his emails or was willing to help him? No one he was asking. I'll help you. I'll meet up with you. I'll do anything to help you with that. You know what I'm doing? I am doing good. Saints, I'm talking about something real. You've got to pray or you won't have that attitude. You'll never do that to an enemy unless you're in prayer. Unless you're saying, oh God, help me. Don't let me live in the flesh. Don't let me be like them. Don't let me be like a backslidden church that doesn't know how to love their enemies. I want reality. But do you know where you get it? Praying for your enemies. Stay in prayer. Pray through. Stay on your knees until you get a victory. Don't speak to them. Don't write that email until you've got a victory. I'm grateful all through the years. Before I wrote an email, I'd write an email that Candace said, don't you send that. I'm so grateful. You know why we can be hot? We can be heated. We can be annoyed with what someone is doing or what they said. I'm glad for a wife said, sit on that until the morning or a week. Don't send it for a week, go back to them. I'm so glad for that. I'm so glad. And that's what we do together. You know what that does? Gives me time to pray. Might take a week to pray through and touch God. Might take a night to go and say, oh God, will you change me? Will you help me to see right? I feel so justified in getting angry or saying these things or doing these things. But will you show me what I'm to do? You see, it's in prayer that God changes your actions. So not only now that you're not hating them by some action, you're now doing good to them. You know what the word good there means? Beneficial. Something that's beautiful. Something that's virtuous. Why not, when they're hating you through some actions, you do the opposite? I'm not saying become a floor mat or a doormat. Don't become a doormat. That's not what this is about. Don't ignore their sin. You know what the Bible says? If they sin against you, what do? You go to them and you rebuke them or show them their sin. That's what you do. We're not talking about being fools for Christ here. We're not talking about becoming all lovey-dovey and we become victims. That's not what this is about.
Yeah.
Listen to what it says in Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself. That's an action. But rather, give place under wrath. Let it go. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Never take vengeance. If you take vengeance into your hands, you're on your own. God won't answer your prayers. Don't go, I'll get back at them. Oh God, will you help me? Do you know what he'd say? No. No, I can tell you before you pray. Man, you go and attack them. And then you said, oh God, will you help me? Sure, you took it out of my hands. You want me to move in that situation. But you're going, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. You know what you're saying? God, stay out of it. I'm taking vengeance. I have vengeance in my heart. I'm going to tell them exactly what I think. Then don't go to God in prayer. Either do it yourself or go on your knees and say, oh God, I'm not going to take vengeance. I'm not going to give them what they deserve. I'm not going to attack them. I'm not going to chase after them. I'm not going to pursue them. I don't want that in my heart. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go into my prayer closet. I'm going to get up early in the morning before I go to bed at night. Or if I wake up in the middle of the night. Saints, when do you pray for your enemies? Can I give you a real revelation here and a real secret? When? I'm not giving you hours and moments and times. Let me give you the secret to knowing how or when to pray for your enemies. When that rises up in your heart. If you wake up at 2 a.m, annoyed over that person, pray for your enemy. If you're in a room with them and their words and actions stir you up, right there in the quietness of your heart, pray for your enemies. That's the secret to get through this. Whenever that ugly red stuff rises up within your emotions, that again none of you know about, it's only Malcolm's in here, that red stuff begins to stir up, pray for your enemies. That's how you get through this. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him a drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Do you know what? See, if you match that person, they're bad to me, I'll meet them like that. You're no better than them. You're living under law. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's law. That's Moses. But the Bible doesn't say that. The gospel is do good to them that hate you. Will you do that when you get out of here? Will you go find the person who hates you? Will you buy them an Easter egg if it's Easter? Will you go and buy them something? Will you do something for them? You know Ray Comfort, that evangelist, the Australian or New Zealand evangelist, and you've seen him on the streets. Do you know he got attacked? There was a lady on YouTube, she had an anti-God hating program. And she would get on there and pour out vile abuse of Ray Comfort. She hated God. She didn't believe the Bible. She hated this evangelist. She mocked him, called him names, made jokes about him, made videos about him. And I watched this video just a month or so ago. You know what? She come on, she began to cry. And she made an advert for all her atheist evolutionary friends. And she's there crying, says, guys, I need to do a video. And she says, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to do this. But she says, look, I got a letter from Ray Comfort. And I can't remember all the details. There were tickets in there for a meal and a nice little note just saying, praying for you. Praying for you. Do you know how that affected her? She gets on YouTube and she's there with tears and says, I'm so touched. I'm so touched. And you know what she done after this? She says, I'll do a program with you. We'll both go on a program together. Saints, we can actually, by some action, do you know what? We're after them. We're after them. We can shock them. I'm not talking about being a doormat or ignoring their sin. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I am saying overcome evil with good. And what does it say in verse 44? And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Brother Keith, you don't know what he done to me. You don't know what she done to me. You don't know what they done to me. Do you want to compare scars? Do you want to compare scars? I've got a lot of scars. I've got a lot of stories over the years. Do you want to compare? Do you want to compare? And since I know people who suffered things I've never suffered, and they're gleaming with the love of Christ. They're filled with the goodness of God. You say, oh, but you don't know what they done to me. What did Jesus say? Pray for those who despitefully use you. The word despitefully there means threaten you. They're threatening you. They are insulting you. They are slandering you. They are falsely accusing you. They are trying to destroy your reputation. They're trying to break up your good relationship and friendship with others. They are trying to hurt you badly. They are trying to trample you down under the threats of their mouth. You will become terribly hurt if you don't pray. See, at that point, you better pray for that person. The number one thing is get on your knees and cry to God, "Oh God, I'm going to pray for that person." You know what? First of all, for your own sake. And you say, "I don't want to pray for them." Oh no, you don't understand. This is to protect you. This is for your good. This is to help you through this trial. It also says, pray for those who persecute you. It means to run after you, to chase you, to pursue you, to crowd in on you. You know, a pastor I heard him say once many years ago, he says, the Bible says, resist the devil. As a pastor with deacons, okay? With a whole board of deacons in the church. And he said, the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But he says, if you resist the deacons, they'll fly at you. They'll attack you. You know what the Bible actually says? It says when men chase after you. Do you know what it's like for someone to pursue after you? It's not that you bump into them and they're rude. Oh no, I mean someone who begins to plan and think, I'm going to be there. I'm going to destroy that situation for them. I'm going to preempt them. I'm going to go ahead of you and try to destroy everything for you. I'm going to sow discord and division and lies and falsehood, and I'm going to ridicule you. What are you going to do for that person? Attack them? Take them to court? Announce it on Facebook. I want everybody on Facebook. I want everyone, the whole world, from Australia to America. I want them all to know the truth. I'm going to publish a book and expose yous. I'm going to put all the truth in there. You know what the Bible actually says? Pray for them. Pray for them. If someone is persecuting you, you must pray for them. Saints, let me give you a warning. If you don't pray for them, something's going to get in your heart. You must pray for them. You've got to pray for them. Romans 12:14 says, bless them that persecute you. Bless them that curse you. Obtain by your prayers blessings for them, even though they've been trying to steal blessings from you. They're trying to steal the peace of God. Why not pray for the peace of God for them? Man, Lord, settle them. If they were settled and had your peace, they wouldn't be acting like this. They would never do that. Let me briefly here tell you what to pray. Brother Keith, you've given me a dilemma. Some to pray for them. What do I pray for them? Fire? Brimstone? Hell? What am I to pray for them? Can I give you four things? And this isn't the only four things. But let me give you four things. What to pray when you pray for your enemies. First of all, pray for forgiveness. Pray for forgiveness. Listen to what it says in Luke 23. This is Jesus on the cross. Then Jesus said, he's praying. Who's he praying for? His enemies. In verse 34, Father, forgive them. He prays to the Father saying, Father, will you forgive them? For they know not what they do. And at the foot of the cross, as he's praying that, they are parting his garments and casting lots. These Roman soldiers who crucified him, they're playing a dice game and saying, I want the big robe. I want the complete garment. And there he is hanging, suffering in pain, and he's innocent. He's utterly innocent. These men nailed him to a cross. You know what he's saying? Father, forgive them. Do you have that sort of love in you here? Could you be crucified, nailed to a cross? Could you be hanging on a cross of a destroyed reputation? Or a destroyed relationship, or a destroyed job, or a destroyed ministry? Could you be on the cross crucified while they play games at the foot of that cross, enjoying themselves together while you're in agony? Could you say, Father, forgive them? Because that's what Christ done. And if you can't do that, this love is not working in you. You're living by law, not by grace. You see, living by grace means you can say, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Or what about in Acts chapter 7, 60, where we have Stephen being stoned to death? Listen to what it says. And he kneeled down and he cried with a quiet voice. No, it doesn't say that. With a loud voice. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Do you have that sort of heart? There they are, stoning him to death. Big boulders are heading off him. They are cursing him. They are angry. Nobody's praying for him in that crowd. They're all religious. They all believe in God. They're all going to be in synagogue on the Saturday. They all keep the commandments. And here they are stoning this man of God. They hate this man of God. They want to destroy him. Do you know what he's doing? Father, do not hold this to their account. Have you ever learned to pray like that? Have you ever prayed like that from the heart? With someone trying to destroy you and you say, Father, don't lay this to their charge. Since I'm talking about the Christianity of the Bible, which here I know it's beyond us. It's not natural to us. You've got to get on your knees and pray and say, make me like Jesus. Make me Christ-like. I want this love to be in me. That when this happens, this is what comes out. That's the first thing. When you pray for your enemies, pray for forgiveness. Second of all, let me say on that point, that God doesn't unconditionally forgive everyone. He doesn't. And just because you from your heart forgive someone doesn't mean that we don't have church discipline or don't separate from them or don't go to a court of law if it's a sinner and an issue needs dealt with. You're still operating in love. But you know what? From your heart you need to be free. You're free. You've let go of it. You've let go of it. They're still a sinner. They're still heading for the judgment of God, but you're free in your heart. Second thing you need to pray for, salvation for them. If they're not saved, you need to pray for their salvation. Paul in Romans chapter 10 verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You remember Paul? Do you remember who he was? Do you remember he's one of those religious men who was standing there responsible for the stoning of Stephen? He's actually there saying, I'm doing God's will. Kill him. Stone him. Destroy him. He actually stood there consenting, encouraging this until Stephen was dead. Saul was there. Saul, the persecutor of the church. Who is Saul? He used to separate husbands and wives and throw them into prison. He used to take mothers and fathers away from their children and throw them in prison. He tried to destroy the church. He wanted to kill every Christian. He breathed out threatenings against the name of Jesus. You say, I'm not praying for them. Aren't you glad Stephen prayed at his death? Aren't you glad? Lord, was everyone forgiven? No, but one man got forgiveness. What's his name? Saul of Tarsus. And he became Paul the preacher. Aren't you glad there was a Christian who was there saying, Lord, don't hold it to their account. I'm ready to meet you. I'm going to be where you are. I see Christ at the right hand of the Father. Lord, I have nothing in my heart against them. Do you realize you could pray for someone that's evil and wicked in this city? Someone who hates you and persecutes you and tries to destroy you. You could pray for them. They could become Paul the Apostle. Hallelujah. Do you realize the power of this? Do you see why God wants us to pray like this? It takes the grace of God. Thirdly, deliverance. Pray for deliverance. Paul writing in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 1, finally, brethren, pray for us that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Pray for deliverance. My God, deliver me from this person. You go, that's not very loving. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's going, God, this person's hindering me. They're stopping the gospel. They're breaking my heart. They're going to affect my children. Lord, deliver us. Deliver us. Rescue us from this. Or what about where it says in Romans chapter 15, 30, "Now I beseech you, brethren, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe." That do not believe. So here we have Paul saying, let's pray together for deliverance from these evil men. We not only pray that God forgives them, we not only pray for their salvation, but we actually pray, deliver me. Deliver me from this situation. My God, I'm weary of them saying these things. I am worn down by their accusations. I am tired and I'm getting worn down by their constant attack. Pray for deliverance. But don't pray for deliverance if you don't want God to do something. Candace and me have seen many times God deal with the situation. I mean supernaturally Him intervening. You know why? We prayed. Lord, will you change this situation? Will you save us from it? You say, yes, sure. Sure, I'll deliver you. I'll maneuver things that's going to change. Thank you, Lord. But here, fourthly and lastly, and there's other things, but I'm just giving you, pray for righteous judgment. I thought we're not meant to take vengeance. We're not. You don't take vengeance. I thought we're not to curse them. You're not. I thought we're not meant to speak bad of them. You're not. But listen to me. The Bible does teach that our enemies, we are to pray for righteous judgment. Can you pray for righteous judgment on an enemy? Yes. Yes. Are we only to bless and pray, oh God, do good things to them? No. Listen to the Bible as we close. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Do you know what? Alexander the coppersmith was hindering the gospel. He was doing much evil against Paul. Paul, that isn't love. You want God to judge him? He's doing evil against you in your sin. God judge him. Paul, that's not very loving. Yes, it is. That's not very Christian. Yes, it is. This is actually how you respond to your enemies. You pray that God forgives them. You pray for their salvation. You pray for deliverance from them. But you can also pray, Lord, reward them according to their works. Deal with them. Deal with their heart. Deal with their attitude. My God, deal with them. If they're wicked and not going to repent, remove them. Do you know you can pray that? Someone once called it, I won't use the word, they called it something. But in this praying, this is serious, saints. I'm dealing with enemies. I do love Jesus. I love my enemies. I don't want to hurt them. I don't want them to die and go to hell. But I am going to pray for them. Corrie ten Boom, with her sister and family, her father, were arrested at the beginning of the Second World War in Holland. She was a Christian. She loved God. Her father was one of the most godly men that you would ever meet. But you know what happened? When they come and started taking the Jews, this family, the Corrie ten Boom family, they used to hide Jews in behind their walls, protecting them. Eventually, the father actually put a yellow star on his own clothes. He wasn't a Jew. But he identified with the Jew. He wasn't scared. He was a man of faith. He was filled with Jesus Christ. One day, the Nazis turned up at their door with the soldiers, broke in, found the Jews hiding in their home, arrested them all. She would never see her old white-haired father again. He's going to die in a Nazi concentration camp. Her and her sister went into a vile, terrible prison. And in that prison, she watched her sister get sicker and sicker and sicker. And she's going to die. But her sister is filled with love, saying, Corrie, bless them. Don't curse them. Do you know what Corrie said? Says, I can't. I hate them. I hate them for what they've done to you. I hate them for what they're doing to the Jews, to our father. I cannot love them. But her sister kept saying, Corrie, pray for them. Corrie, pray for them. I can't pray for them. Look what they've done to us. How can I pray? There was one specific lady over all the women prisoner. She was a vile, wicked lady. She was evil to its very extreme and would literally whip these ladies and even kill some of them. Do you know what happened? Her sister, before she died, says, Corey, love them and pray for them. And then she died. Do you realize Corey had a great battle? But when she got out of that prison, she got a victory. One of the godliest ladies, up in her 80s, she traveled the world speaking about loving your enemies, forgiving them who despitefully use you, pray for those who persecute you. Do you know, shortly after the war, she was traveling, giving her testimony at meetings, and she went to Germany, and she's preaching publicly in the meeting, and saying how hard it was, and her sister died, and she never got to see her father again, and she had terrible things happen to her, and she said, but you know what, God taught me to pray for my enemies, God taught me to love my enemies. And there at the end of the meeting, who comes walking down the aisle, that old wicked vile Nazi lady, and she come down tear streaming saying, Corey, that was me, will you forgive me? That lady got born again that night as Corey prayed for her and led her to Jesus Christ. Saints, that's a testimony to the grace of God, to the power of Calvary. Saints, I know it's impossible. I know we cannot do it. But I'm saying, pray for your enemies. Be motivated by the love of God. Do good to them that despitefully use you. They hate you. Go out and do good to them. Get on your knees alone tonight. When you get back home, go into the toilet. Go somewhere and say, oh God, help me live this life. It's not natural. I don't even want it. But oh God, move in my heart. I love you. I love you for what you've done on the cross. You loved me when I hated you. When I was an enemy of yours, you loved me. You prayed for me. You laid down your life. How can I do any less? Let's pray here. Let's lift our hands. Lord Jesus, we need you.